All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Cosmic Circle, the official podcast of the Cosmic Circus, where we discuss all things nerdy. On today's episode, we're discussing the entirety of the Disney Plus animated show, Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, Season 1. My name is Vin. I'm the writer and a YouTuber for the Cosmic Circus. Joining me today is Vic and Red.
Hello.
Hi. Also Anthony, either one.
Anthony Flagg. Just some quick notes. Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man 2025 show created by Jeff Trammell, starring Hudson Thames as Peter Parker, age 15, Colman Domingo as Norman Osborn. This is an alternate universe take on Tom Holland's Spider-Man story. What if Norman Osborn mentored Peter Parker? Season 2 is already in development, and this has a ton of special cameos and special appearances and all kinds of Easter eggs to the comics and to the history of Spider-Man. So, Vic, you're like our like multimedia Spider-Man like expert on everything. Just tell us, what were some of your quick reactions? What were some of the things you really loved about the show?
Basically, that was meant for kids, but it fits the whole other ideas about making it accessible for everyone and watchable for everyone. Like, you don't have to be a kid to enjoy it. You can easily be a 50-year-old and enjoy it. It's so good. I just had amazing flashbacks and emotional flashbacks back to Spider-Man 1994 when I watched it, and I felt like if I was a kid, that this would be my Spider-Man.
It really does feel like that, like the modern Spider-Man cartoon, even though it's like alternate universe and there's so many twists. But I think that's also what keeps it interesting for modern audiences, who's we've all grown up with 30 years of Spider-Man, and this is still somehow Spider-Man that's still fresh, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Anthony, what do you think?
I really love this show. I love the alternative take on everything that happened with the Spider-Man, how it's Osborn. I mean, it makes it such an interesting concept right from the get-go. Like, really, from the first episode, what I enjoyed was how he found the, what was it, printer, keyboard, something, and he was walking away from that trash can, and I'm like, I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then they kind of, they slowly lead you. And then that song, man, it just, all J kicks in and you're like, I know what's about to happen. And then boom, that big reveal that it's Norman Osborn instead of Tony Stark. And he just made it so fun. So like right from the beginning, I was enamored with the idea.
I remember when the song came on, I was like, hang on, this song's really like 10 years old. Why are they using the song? And then I was like, hang on, Marvel used this. Hang on. No, it was a Spider-Man. Come on, they already used this in Spider-Man. I was like, oh.
It was in Civil War.
Yeah.
And it was shot for shot, and it was great.
And it was shot for shot. It was amazing when they do that. And I love that. Even the scene when, like, he catches the car, and he hits the bus, and that's the same scene that Tony
from the
shows
YouTube
him.
Video. Yep.
So brilliant. And Vic, I think, I'm sure you noticed, there's all these little callbacks to the Raimi movies, to the Andrew Garfield movies, even I'm sure there's some to like 1994 that I missed. Yeah, Vic?
even to the games.
Really? Like what?
Like when he wears the Future Foundation suit as well as his new suit. Like it's one to one scene from when Peter gets his new suit from Dr. Octavius in Marvel Spider-Man 1 game.
Wow. Okay. So and Marvel Spider-Man 1, Anthony, you've played this also, right?
Yep.
So how does that compare to this cartoon? What are there any other similarities?
Cartoon or game?
The game compared to the cartoon.
No, there's quite a distinction because in the games you're dealing with a experienced and, you know, that Spider-Man has been doing it for a while now, and he knows these enemies. He knows them on a first name basis, to where he talks to them like he's talking to familiar people. Versus show where you're meeting all of these characters for the first time, and they're not even fully developed. Like Doc Ock doesn't have his arm. Well, he has the arms, but he's not actually wearing them. Goblin isn't really around. Scorpion doesn't get introduced until the latter half of this show. And I'm trying to think of who else. There was no Vulture in the show that I can remember of.
No.
No Rhino. Oh, there was Rhino in name only. Who else? Like Shocker. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So,
and then at the end of the show, you have that whiteboard with all those names for other characters.
Yeah.
For the WEB group. As Spider-Man fans, what personally appeals to you more? Do you like getting these alternate origin takes? Or do you like seeing him more experienced?
I really like the inexperienced one because that's where you see Spider-Man become Spider-Man. Like
Okay.
that was the fun part about the MCU is seeing, you know, Tom Holland's Spider-Man go through it, like starting with the little people, trying to do more than he could, and Tony saying, hey, kid, take a step back. Like, you are not ready. And then when you come to Infinity War and Endgame, he's like, all right, Spider-Man, step up. I need your help, even though you're not really supposed to be here. But if you're here, let's put you to work. And he
earns the name Spider-Man. I love that in the MCU. Yeah.
Like, not Spider-Ling, Spider-Man.
Yeah. Like, really, for the first time, when they call him Spider-Man, it means something. That he's earned it. And by the end of No Way Home, when Tom Holland's like, he's standing differently, his hair is different, he looks mature and grown up at the end of No Way Home. And I'm really excited to see that in this animated show, to see this new Peter Parker grow up and mature also, and to see how it parallels the MCU. Because we just covered about 2016, right? Next season, I guess, will be kind of paralleling Infinity War, won't it? Maybe?
Possibly. I mean, you kind of, well, I think they may go something beyond that because opening up that portal kind of gives me more credence that it's going to be more multiverse.
I think so too. Yeah. So who knows what could happen? This could dovetail right into Secret Wars.
Well, Gwen Stacy is the only one I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I'm thinking is if they release this in time, I think Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man season 2 could lead into Secret Wars, and then maybe we see this version. Imagine if we get a Peter Parker Future Foundation suit in Secret Wars from this animated show, you know, something like that.
Or you get four Spider-Men.
Exactly. Like, why not, right?
Go balls to the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really interested. I think the Multiverse Saga has been kind of hit or miss. We talked about it a little bit when we were talking about Captain America off camera or before the pod. But
Captain America, Brave New World, specifically. For the listeners.
Anyway, I'm really excited to see the potential of the Multiverse Saga, hopefully it all comes together in Secret Wars, right? Hopefully it culminates in something really worthwhile.
I think a big strength this show has is that there's two restrictions taken away. One, with animation, you can do anything. You don't have to worry about doing all the CGI on real life people. And two, you don't have the handcuffing of Sony saying, well, we got to put our two cents in. I mean, it's the truth. Like, they're able, look how many characters this show introduced and how well they did. Like, I really love how they did Tombstone. That was like a great introduction. They wouldn't have had time to do that in the movies, you know, like maybe like they would have set him up. Like, look at Prowler, how they did with Donald Glover. Like, yeah, he had a little scene where he got interrogated, and that was how many years ago? And the payoff, the most payoff we got was in Beyond the Spider-Verse when he's sitting there in captivity. Like, that sucks. I mean, I wanted more than that.
Can you believe Homecoming was 8 years ago?
Don't remind me.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But I think you're exactly right. What did you guys think about the animation style on the show? I love the character design.
I have strong opinions on that.
Yeah,
I have
very strong. Okay, what do you think?
So I know the first thing is people are like, it's weird. It was weird during the slow moments when people are just talking or holding still. It was weird. But when the action was going on, I thought it was incredible and well-fitting.
I agree. So
that was just my strong opinion. I'm like, in some instances, it's awesome. In some of them, I didn't care for it. But even then, it doesn't really matter because they're just talking. They're just having a conversation. But when action was actually going on, that was incredible.
I think I personally would have preferred something a little more 2D. Like when Vic talked about the 1994 series all the time, like I love that 2D animation. Mm-hmm. And I'm sometimes like, why can't we just go back to a little bit more of that 2D stuff? Vic, what did you think about the animation of the show?
When I watched it, my first thought was like, this is what the Spider-Man, the new animated series with Neil Patrick Harris should have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was all CG back then.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I noticed that some scenes had the similar animation that show had, and I really love this mix of the comic book meets the animation meets the kind of game animation, because I have all the best memories with the Ultimate Spider-Man game, and this show really still up to this day really reminds me of this game. So it's very good, in my opinion, at least.
What were some of your favorite changes from the traditional canon that the show did.
Oof. Definitely
I'll
keeping.
say my very favorite change is with great power comes great respect. Whoa.
That's a
Whoa,
good
mic
one.
drop.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
I'd say that it's a weird one, but Peter is still having his glasses, like keeping
Oh, I
his
like
glasses
that.
on.
Yeah.
Like he still needs the glasses, so that was very nice. But the one that I didn't expect, but I loved when it was used in one movie, only one, and it was cut, but it's still my headcanon, is that Richard Parker is alive. It's like the moment that I didn't expect to see, but I really loved it. And it
Because
was because when I saw it in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, I already had all those infinite possibilities of where this could go.
Okay.
Like, what if Uncle Ben is not around, but Peter's father is, alive and comes into his life after many years of absence? And it's like this weird dynamic that we didn't see in comics much. Like, I don't know if it was even.
I have no idea. Anthony, do you know?
No.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, I know that in comics, there was this weird Peter Parker origin story where he thought that his parents were CIA, but they weren't, and later he found out his mother was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I know in the comics he has a sister who is an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's about as much as I remember.
I did not know that.
So I really like the idea that they kept it very simple and added some twists that don't complicate it way too much in the future.
Vic, what did you think about, did you feel that it's kind of similar to the Flash with his dad being in jail? Or no, not at all.
Well, not at first,
Okay.
but I feel like there's a more behind the story. Like, it's not the father who's innocent, but I think that he's in jail because of the fact they
That's a
think
good
he.
question. I didn't even consider why is he in jail?
Yeah, I
I
think
didn't think
that's.
about that.
Yeah, I think that's that they're keeping the CIA agent's backstory, background, and whatever. And maybe he was, I don't know, they charged him with a treason or something like that. Maybe. I don't know, because at this point, I want to have as l less information as I can.
Okay, you don't want
Because,
any spoilers.
well, not that much. I want to know what's going to happen more or less, but I don't want the entire story, just laid out.
The one canon switch that I really liked was Peter's acquisition of the powers, that he was walking into Midtown first day, right? Not like middle of the semester or anything, and then that the school got destroyed. So like it kind of set him in a weird situation where like I can't go to Midtown now, and I have to go to this other school, and I'm around
Yeah.
these other students. And so
It's
he's thrown
great.
in a different environment compared to what he's normally put around. Because I don't remember, because Midtown is the one for the gifted students, correct?
I think
More
so,
or
yeah.
less. And then, but this other one is just another public school, just like a standard one.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
not, yeah, I'm not
Yeah,
too sure,
Midtown is for
but it
the
is.
science nerds and whatever, like
Yeah.
everyone has talent.
And like any of us know, like when you move to a different school, that your whole life goes in a different direction. Everything suddenly changes. So it's such a great premise for a multiverse story. Not just what if these little things are different, but what if he goes to a different high school entirely? Already, that explains so many differences. I want to go back to the glasses for a second. Why do you think he has his glasses in this show? Because we've seen Raimi. We see the powers. He doesn't need glasses anymore. Blah blah blah. Why does he have glasses?
In the MCU, he never wore glasses. Now that I think about it, maybe they're just trying to contrast it.
I think it's a great look, though. I think it
Looks
looks good,
nice.
and it ties him, I think, a little bit closer to this kind of like old-fashioned Spider-Man kind of. I don't know.
Well, isn't the like character model kind of just the original Spider-Man? The hair is a little different, a little bit more modern, but like I think they're just really trying to pay homage
And
to the
when you look at the
original.
concept art in the credits, the concept art has the classic Peter Parker hair in it too. So I really like that this show is like it's new, but it also goes old school at the same time. It has its feet in both worlds. And I really love what Brad Winterbaum is doing with all these new animated shows. What if you know, we putting that aside, I think the X-Men 97, I think Spider-Man, I think these upcoming shows are kind of bangers, and I'm really excited to see what comes next.
I like how you excluded what if. Yeah, I
What can
know.
I say? What can
I
I say?
know. This is the what if. What if we had a good show? Here you go.
It wasn't that bad.
No, but I think these new shows are they're a step above, right? And I love that now. I don't know if you've been reading his interviews. He's like, so in our new TV shows, we're going to design them with multiple seasons. What an idea, right?
Wow, that's like classic television.
Yeah, and
It only
I'm
took them
really
6 years
excited.
to get here.
I know it took they had a learning curve to get here, but I'm so excited for this new era of Marvel TV. Like with Daredevil being designed the way it is, and with they're being more deliberate about what shows get made, what shows get don't get made, what shows get planned with multiple seasons. It's kind of like common sense, but I'm excited to see where it goes. Anthony?
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing at the fact that, pardon me, it took him 6 years to look at the traditional TV model. Maybe we should try that. It's only been working for about 65 years.
Yeah. What if we made TV like TV?
Yeah. No, I'm trying to remember who, but somebody said these aren't TV shows, they're just poorly paced movies split into 6 episodes. And I couldn't agree more. Now
Yeah.
this felt like a TV show. Look, mini arcs that feed into one big arc. That's a
Yeah.
TV show right there. That's a great
Yeah.
season. And
Yeah.
even looking at the release structure, they did what? 2 episodes, then three, then
Yeah.
two, or something like
No,
that.
three. Two, three, three,
But you know
two,
what I'm
three.
saying? Yeah,
Yeah,
y'all
yeah.
know better than I do. But what
Yeah.
I'm saying is like, boom, here you go. Introduce Spider-Man. Here you go. We're gonna go over Lonnie Lincoln, what he's
Yes.
going. Here we're gonna go back to Spider-Man and other things. And boom, we're gonna wrap it all up at the end. Like
Yeah.
that release schedule worked so well because you're like, okay, I'm gonna sit down and watch this, put it together. Even if you watch them one at a time separately, it still flows well.
And I really do think, because watching this in the batches that came out, I think it was so well paced, and I think it was so well carefully designed, where like you watch these three, and like you're saying, this is like an arc, and this is like an arc, and then like I really love the ones from this week where episode 9 is kind of your grand finale for the show, then episode 10 is like a little bit of a button that connects back to episode 1 and helps set up season 2.
Essentially an epilogue.
Yeah, and then the fact that both of these are released on the same day. One is
Yep.
like your grand finale, and the other, like you said, like an epilogue. And great, give me both on the same day. It fits so well, like a part one, part two finale, kind of.
Even on a weekly release schedule, this would have worked just fine.
Yeah.
But the way they chose to do this was just masterclass, which means they're learning. That's good.
Yeah, I was surprised by the show, because when it started, I was like, I don't know about this. And a lot of my like not Cosmic Circus friends, just regular people, were like, why are you watching this? What are you doing, dude? It's not even canon. And over time, I was like, I don't know, I don't know. And then it wins you over by episode 5, when he first gets his suit, I'm like, whoa, the whole show transforms. And then it's like, now we're in a Spider-Man show. And then again, talking about the structure, episodes 9 and 10, or sorry, 8 and 9, the last two, that's when, no, it is 9 and 10. 9 and 10, when he the last two, when he has his red and blue suit. And those last two episodes are released on the last week. This is the red and blue era. We have like the white suit era, the red and blue era within this whole season. You know what I mean? And it's so well structured, and it feels like a real Spider-Man show, even though it has this alternate universe stuff, but it's classic Spider-Man at the same time.
I'm trying to remember. I could be wrong. Correct me if I am. But there was a moment where I think in the background they're talking about the events of Civil War. And it's so
For sure.
interesting because he's not there, right? Because in MCU, he went and fought alongside, but like, no, this happened. And it kind of changed the outcome of Spider-Man not being there. Like, just to show how pivotal he is and to still hear about it and what came of it. I like that they didn't make a big fuss about it, but they're like, here, we're going to address it and we're going to keep moving on. Like, that was well done.
I love when Octavius is making fun of the Sokovia Accords, and he's nitpicking the grammar in it. A plus, great stuff. And like the way they're playing with the MCU, because they know we watch the stuff. They know the deep fans are here for it, but also we're here for a Spider-Man show, and they're able to juggle both. Vic, what did you think about the MCU ties of this?
Yeah, they were perfect. I wish that Spider-Man Homecoming did exactly what the show did before the show came out, because it perfectly shows how Spider-Man Homecoming was a wasted potential. And the show did everything way better.
Anthony, respond.
I'm just laughing. That was funny.
I like Homecoming. I really like Homecoming.
I like Homecoming. I mean, it's in the
I
name.
like Homecoming too, but
But
let's be honest.
man, I'll be honest, this show is probably easily top three Spider-Man media for me, like out of
Really?
everything.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
great. You had an interesting story. The episodes were short and concise. They tied well into one each other. I loved the massive amount of characters that got introduced, and it wasn't like shoehorn, like, here, let's just throw in a cameo, boom. Like, no, like, hey, he's gonna play a part some way or another. May not be right now, may not be this episode, may not be this half of the season. Hell, it may not even be this season at all, but I promise you it will pay off. And everything paid off and will pay off based off the course and journey we are on currently.
Yeah, like I think a key character you're kind of thinking about right now is Daredevil, right? And when he's introduced, I
Actually,
was kind of like,
no, but I didn't.
oh,
Now the I was actually thinking more Doc Ock because he played
okay,
a big part, but he
sure,
wasn't in front the whole time. But now that you mentioned Daredevil, yeah, that was great too.
because they just tease him, and I'm like, Daredevil, where'd he go? Huh? And they don't do a lot with him yet, but at the end of the season, they're like, hey, remember him? He's coming back, and so
Now,
it's
who
kind
was
of what
that
you
he was
said.
speaking with that he was like he had infiltrate?
I don't remember her name.
I
Vic, do you
don't
remember her name?
remember. I don't remember her name either,
Yeah,
or what character it was.
but it's interesting seeing how this Daredevil's already different from Netflix version, because this one has like a superhero partner, kind of like he's working with someone, and she's not like one of the defenders. Like this is a superhero. You know, Vic, do you have the name?
I'm looking for it right now. Give me a second.
You're good. But it was also nice to hear that Daredevil theme within the show. And if you, I always watch the credits because I'm blind. And
That's what Daredevil said.
thank you. You got the joke. And it even said that this is the new version of the Daredevil theme. It said the Newton Brothers or whoever is composing it. That was cool. I loved it. I loved it. And it was a good fight because, like, it was the first time that Peter had to fight somebody who actually could fight. Right? He didn't have the advantage over somebody like, oh, well, I'm just strong. Like, he's like, hey, you can fight. He goes, yeah, I know. And I love that arrogance from Matt. Like, yeah, I know I can fight. I've been doing it my whole life. Good.
I really like their dynamic because they're kind of like combative, but they're also like they're assessing each other.
Respectful.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it was like kind of like friendly partners because they've never had someone that I guess these two have never had someone they can go kind of toe to toe with, but they don't need to kill. You know, they're just kind of playing around with each other a little bit, getting to know each other, kind of like Daredevil and She-Hulk in that episode, right?
Yeah, a
A little
little
bit, like that, but you
bit. You
know.
got the name? What's the name, Vic?
Yeah, finesse.
Finesse, that's right.
Jean Foucault. Jean
Yeah.
Foucault.
I have no idea who that is either, but I'm
She
excited to
first
find
appeared
out.
in Avengers Academy in 2010, so she's a pretty fresh new
Recent, yeah.
character.
Okay.
Yeah. Who do you want to see in season two? So we already have confirmation about Gwen Stacy. I love the character design. The character designs in this whole show are great, but Gwen Stacy looks
I
great.
know exactly who I want to see in season two,
Go. Who?
Kingpin.
Oh,
I mean, you got Daredevil, and remember, Kingpin was originally a Spider-Man villain, and he
until
first appeared in
this,
a Spider-Man comic. Now
I
he's a
did.
Daredevil one, but it may only make sense if you're going to introduce him in an animated version to put him with his first, and that's
That would be
Spider-Man.
brilliant. Yeah. Especially because we were just talking about the Daredevil setup.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's your payoff, right? And I did a Kingpin reading guide. You guys can go find it on the website. I did it like a year or two ago. And it's so interesting tracking Kingpin's history in the comic because it's Spider-Man, 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 then Daredevil. And there was literally periods in the 90s where Kingpin's going back and forth between Daredevil and Spider-Man stories at the same time. And then you can imagine the reading continuity gets really screwed up because he's in these massive events at the same time. And these two events start intersecting because this happens to Kingpin, but then this happens to Kingpin. And then the two comics, they interact like that. So it'd be great to see something like that happen. I don't think it'll happen in the MCU, like live action, but at least in the animated show, to see him properly respected as Spider-Man and Daredevil, as a villain to both. You know what I mean? Vic, who else do you want to see in season two?
Oh, that's a very hard question because I really don't want to see Miles Morales or any other Spider-Man being introduced because it would be as very stinky move, just like what they did with the Marvel Spider-Man for in 2018, the animated show where they introduced Miles Morales, Gwen Stacy, and you just got in 2 seasons you were introduced to 3 or 4 spider people, and it was a mess. I don't want Ben Reilly to show up. I don't want MJ. I don't want Ned, because they are Tom Holland's Peter Parker friends. But I really want to see Mysterio, because he would be a very great villain, especially for the Spider-Man and especially in the animation. Look what they did 30 years ago in the animated series where they had Mysterio. Like, this animation was old, but they did a lot of very sick in a positive way stuff. So Mysterio would be amazing. I heard there were rumors about Mr. Negative appearing at
Whoa,
some
that'd be
point,
cool.
but
But how would
I
they make him? Because I feel like Across the Spider-Verse already did him so well, and he's got to continue into Beyond the Spider-Verse, right?
No, it was a spot.
Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry. No, Mr. Negative, wasn't he in one of the games?
Yeah, in the
Yeah,
first
he was the
game.
villain in the first game.
Oh, sure. That's what I was thinking of, the first game.
He's the one that is in charge of Feast and is essentially kind of responsible for Aunt May passing away.
And Miles is start dying. So he would be great. And of heroes, maybe I want to see Captain America appear as Nomad or someone who knows Spider-Man is, a fan, and maybe he wants his help, but doesn't want to alarm the Avengers.
And Cap as Nomad would make sense because now we're going to be after Civil War, right? So it actually lines up with the timeline.
Also, did you notice that the events that happen in your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man already happened in Civil War, but here Civil War happens before those events?
What do you
So
mean?
it's a weird
Because
continuity.
I thought they're kind of like in parallel, right?
No, but I mean that Peter catching the car, stopping the bus, and all that, it all happened before the events of Civil War in MCU, but here it happened after Civil War occurred. So
I don't think, because look, he catches the car, and then he
yeah, I
goes into
know.
his apartment, which is Civil War. So he
No,
catches the car
I mean
before that,
way
it
later,
seems.
way later. I mean way later in the series, where he already has the Future Foundation suit.
Oh, there's more scenes like that, you mean?
Yeah, there's more similar scenes like that.
Okay. Anthony, did you catch what he's talking about? Okay.
They called me a madman.
I don't know, man. We're not trying to gaslight you, but
I mean, I just have a very weird eye for details like
okay.
this.
Because there was the exact scene where he catches a car, he hits the bus, but that was before he goes into the
That's with
apartment
the
in
old
Civil War.
suit, but in the Future Foundation
True.
suit, there
There's
some
more scenes like that.
things, yeah, there are more
Okay.
scenes like that happened
But
after.
I believe you, because there are so many callbacks and parallels, even in episode one with the bus, and that's straight from Raimi's Spider-Man 1 when he's running to get the bus. And I love these little like tickles.
They
When
even
he
do
gets
the Spider-Man 2 Power of the Sun in the palm of my hand. They quote that. They even quote that. Yeah, there's quite a few.
There's and when he gets the Future Foundation suit, and then the way he's swinging, it reminded me of Andrew Garfield swinging. And I tagged Vic when I saw that, because I just love all these like Easter eggs, but it's also callbacks and it's respect, and it's saying I love Spider-Man, you love Spider-Man, let's all just enjoy this together, right? It's good
Yeah.
stuff.
So good.
What was there anything you guys didn't like? Was that a James Franco reference? So good.
Exactly.
Okay, was there anything you guys didn't like about the season?
I wouldn't say I didn't like, but I was slightly disappointed when he was having that fight with Scorpion and he's calling out for help. I really thought Norman was going to show up as Green Goblin and he didn't. It was just the glider. But I understand they weren't trying to, give you
It's
that
too soon.
immediately. But it was like,
But
oh, I really wanted to see it. So he could be like, oh, hey, look, he's got something else. And it would have been like a reaction from Peter, because then later when he fights him, he'd be like, man, what happened? It's
it
okay.
does feel like that. Especially it makes you think about kind of like Spider-Man 1 when you see like the Green Goblin appearing for the first time at Times Square. But I obviously we can all tell now, I think they just wanted to tease a little bit, but then continue setting up so they have more road for season two and more road to slowly develop the Norman character, which I think they're doing excellently. So yeah, but that is just a little tease. Yeah.
I have my own better version of this scene that you guys mentioned. Is what if Norman just left and didn't save Peter, and Peter had to, you know, escape and understood that I'm all on my own.
Yeah. Kind of like the come on Spider-Man scene from Homecoming, right?
Yeah. One thing I didn't, which
is a great scene. It's a great scene. Homecoming's a good movie.
But one thing I actually didn't like was how they made Harry an influencer. I understand they're trying to keep him modern, but it just wasn't, I'm just being honest, it just wasn't one of my favorite things because
it's totally different.
I don't know. Like, they try to make him like this, oh, woe is me, I'm rich, but people only want me for my money. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen Harry like that in any sort of media. So it's just a weird, different.
But hey, who made on it? Snow?
Yeah, I mean, cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I understand that they needed to do that so that he would have the ability to have the support for funding of the Web Foundation, whatever company he made.
On that point, really quick, I like that Coleman Domingos Osborne. Sometimes he sounds like Willem Dafoe, but he also sounds unique enough to be his own take on the character. Did you guys feel that also, that sometimes he was trying to sound a little bit like Dafoe?
Yes. When he was pushing his voice to inflect, when he was a little bit more frustrated or forceful, you could definitely hear a little bit of that.
Yeah. But it's not an impression, because he's also being his own take on the character. And I thought that's a brilliant way to handle it, where this is the most iconic version of the character. We're going to respect that. But also, you'll respect me as an actor to just bring my own take to the character. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to grab Coleman Domingo and be like, hey, we need you to do Willem Dafoe. Why don't you just call Willem Dafoe? I mean, probably my favorite performance was Coleman Domingo, hands down. Yeah. I wish I could do that voice. I know my voice is great, but god damn, that voice is incredible. I'm jealous. I wish I could bottle it and use it when I want to yell at my dog.
Oh, poor Kylo.
So he'd finally listen to me sometime. This is a joke. He's a very good boy. He listens to literally everything. Yeah, that's why I want to bottle it, because I would never have to use it.
Yeah. I remember when the show started, I was very skeptical about Hudson Thames as Peter, and I was like, that's not Tom Holland, and the music is different, the voice is different. I was like, that's not Doctor Strange. But as the show goes on, it's like, no, it's fine. This is a different universe. Who cares? When Iron Man appears, I was so happy that he had this great different design, because it's a different universe, and let's have fun with that. Let's have fun with the multiverse. This is the kind of stuff I'm asking for from the multiverse saga. Let's just play in these different universes, right? This is what we all wanted from Multiverse of Madness. Yeah.
Another great one was Travis Willingham, who did the voice of Thaddeus Ross, because he sounded really like a general, which is funny because you just had Thaddeus Ross in Captain America Brave New World.
No, I don't remember that movie. Sorry.
Oh my goodness. But it was just really nice because he sounded like a dude that was in the military, in the middle of it, and really trying to be forceful. Harrison Ford's great, but I love how distinctly different they are from one another, which is different from William Hurt, which is also another great interpretation.
He sounded more like Sam Elliott's Thaddeus Ross to me.
Like, from Hulk?
Yeah, with Eric Bana, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I see that. And that, the thing, that's why I liked it, because I'm a big fan of him.
I actually don't know if I ever saw that Eric Bana movie. I think I saw parts of it when I was a kid a long time ago.
You should watch it.
Really? That's the Ang Lee one, right? That's the Ang Lee one. Movie. Yeah. Okay. I want to check it out sometime.
It's a lot more philosophical.
Yeah. Oh, great. That's really good. Yeah. I think for things I didn't like, at first, I think the Tombstone story, for me, it was kind of the weakest part of the season. I think that's because I'm not a huge fan of Spider-Man comics, so maybe I don't know the character as well as you guys do, or I just wasn't really sure what they were doing with this or where it's going. And I thought some of the gang stuff, I was just like, I don't understand the whole logic of how this operates and stuff. But I think that might just be a me issue, maybe.
I get what you're saying. The whole gang warfare thing was kind of odd. I understand. what I would have liked if they would have done was, remember how in Homecoming the whole thing was that Michael Keaton's character had the tech from the Battle of New York leftovers.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been really cool if they would have leveraged the whole, you know, gangster fighting over that piece of tech.
Brilliant. That would have been
That would have been really cool. I mean, I appreciate what they did here, but imagine if Dr. Ock had some of that and was using it to power or using it to reverse engineer to make weapons. That would have been a nice callback.
That would make so much sense, and it'd be a great parallel to Homecoming. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Instead of Vulture being the one vulturing the technology, if it was Doc Ock instead, because and even think about this, let me get an octopus likes collecting trash and treasure in the ocean, right? It literally, it's right there, right?
It writes itself.
Octopus's garden. The octopus is collecting the trash and taking it into its home, right there, right there. They need to hire us, man.
Boom, cut the check.
Yeah, cut the check, man. Things I didn't like.
Denzel or Sam Jackson.
At the beginning of the season, I was really skeptical of it, but it totally won me over by the end. I think maybe they could have, I don't know, maybe I handled the beginning of the season maybe a little differently. I don't know. To get his episode 5 for me was the turning point. When he gets the white suit, and now we're in a Spider-Man show. Then I was locked in. But until that episode 5, I was kind of on the fence. Did you guys feel the same way?
Not exactly. I would say that I was, you know, pretty interested in it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because I've read the comic books. Mm-hmm. I've read the comic books that we've talked about way before the show came out. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I was interested from the beginning. Like, since the spider bit Peter, I was like, yeah, I'm in. It's already, you were like, no, it's not Tom Holland. I was like, yes, it's not Tom Holland.
Finally, so, an American voices an American character.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going back to the way we should.
Oh, no.
Too many British people taking our jobs.
Yeah, finally, American actor is playing Superman. American actor is playing Spider-Man. Yes, finally.
All right. America beat Canada in hockey this week. I mean, we're on a roll right now.
Anthony, what about you? About the beginning of the season, did you feel any of the kind of antsiness that I felt, or did you feel it handled it perfectly and it was well paced?
No, I was right into it from the get go. Okay. Like we mentioned earlier on, like the whole release schedule really helped.
That's true.
That I'm in school, like having to do weekly viewings, I would just wait for them to accumulate and then watch a few because I'm trying to have to balance my time. But since two episodes came out, I'm like, cool, I can sit here. I'm doing my homework and I have this going on my laptop. I can do both and check it out. Or before I go to bed, you know, I'm able to sit down and watch them. And also they're a little bit shorter episodes, which is what's making me a little nervous for Daredevil because they're like 45-ish minutes.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to do two episodes for the premiere and then two episodes at the midseason.
Right. And they're doing that on Tuesday night. And I'm like, oh, great. I have stuff to do Wednesday. So the only thing I wish they would have done is not done 2 a.m. releases. I mean, for y'all, it doesn't make a difference. But for me, I'm like, okay, I wake up. And then when I'm sitting on the shuttle on my way into campus, I'm like looking at my phone and I'm like, well, I have to not get on Twitter because then people are for the finale.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Like when I opened up Twitter on earlier this week or whatever, I had to be like, okay, well, now I know what happens at the finale. I don't want to say it was spoiled, but it was like the time loop stuff got mentioned. I'm like, okay, by the time I got to that scene, I'm like, I know what's about to happen. I can put the pieces together.
Yeah, but Nick, what is it?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the Daredevil episodes are closer to an hour.
Great.
Not 45 minutes. Yeah. So,
great.
So that's way better.
You're pretending to complain, Anthony. You know this is what you want.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
When you were watching those episodes, you are not going to complain.
Yeah, you're right.
You know this. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I think to what you were saying though, I think the release model is just perfect because they're short and it's enough where this is probably I'd watch 2-3 episodes a day anyway when this came out, right? And it just fits perfectly. It's enough to just watch and move on with my day, right? It's not like I need to set out a whole evening to dedicate to binging this 10 episode series. It's not just spend an hour, boom, done, move on. Right. And it's like a light, it's just fun. It's just a fun show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so happy with this. Can you compare it to X-Men 97? Can you say which one you liked better, or apples and oranges?
Apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember there's a couple of distinct things. One, X-Men 97 is a continuation of a series that has already been happening. You already know these characters, what they're doing, what's been, you're just coming back and seeing them again.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the difference between seeing a friend that you've known for a few years versus making a new friend, and now you're having to establish a new relationship.
Mm-hmm. Or an alternate universe version of your friend.
Right. Yeah. Or yeah, because yeah. Like in this one, it's like, okay, I'm familiar with Spider-Man, but this is an entirely different story. I mean, he's not meeting, he meets Harry later on, and they're not best friends from school. He meets him through Norman, of all people. Like, it's, that's yeah. usually inverted. He meets Harry, and through right. that, he meets Norman. Like, that's a complete yeah. twist.
That's true. That's
and
great
Nico
point.
Is his best friend. There is no Mary Jane for him to fawn over. Yeah. He's fawning yeah. over yeah. Pearl. He's friends with Lonnie Lincoln, and he's not going to Midtown. I mean, this is wildly different. So it's something where you have to at least try to pay a little attention so you can figure out what's going on. And it, I think that's part of the draw and the hook. It's like, hey, wait, hold on. That's not what I expected to happen. Let me watch. Let me check in. Let me pay attention and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Vic, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I completely agree. It's like, yeah. I love X-Men 97. I love Spider-Man, Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. The only thing that I would say that's when Spider-Man is better if when Spider-Man 98 comes out at some point. I hope that I'm alive to see it.
Yeah.
You know what? With the way they open up the multiverse, I would not be surprised if they maybe make a little link in there, because yeah, you know, they showed Spider-Man in that one episode of X-Men 97. So.
No, I would love to see that. And as I'm sure maybe we've talked about, or you know, like they did sprinkle in some of the Midnight Suns in those early shows, and I'd like to see a little something. Like, there's Morbius, there's Ghost Rider, there's Dick Blade, you know, there's everyone just there, just hiding. Doctor Strange for a little bit, right?
You were just looking for a way to include Blade. I know you
yeah,
too
exactly.
well.
That's yeah. exactly what I wanted to say too. Like,
I'm kidding.
Blade,
I'm kidding.
The prodigal son returns.
I'm kidding.
If I had the Omnibus with me, I would just hold it up, just to hold it up. Just hold
we
it up.
We would make
just
that the thumbnail.
That'd no be the banner for this. For no reason at all. We
I thought this was
Flash.
A Daredevil, or I thought this was a Spider-Man podcast.
We talk about Flash for Vic, Blade for me, and Daredevil for you.
Yep.
And that's really what this is all about, isn't it?
The Trinity.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I want to ask really quickly, when we were talking about multiverse and things like that, how did you feel about the best friend situation here? How did you feel about Nico Minoru? And what do you want to see from Ned in the future?
I have no familiarity with Nico, so I had to read about her as I was watching the show.
She's a great character.
She is really a great character. Good. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. From what I understand is she is...
From Runaways.
She's mm-hmm. All right. This is going to be one of those weird things. I'm just going to have to say it out loud because it's been on my mind, but I want to think mm-hmm. it. From what I've read, Nico is a lesbian, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I think there was like a moment where I saw her like expressing interest in another mm-hmm. character. I can't remember if it was Pearl or Emma.
Right.
But
I thought that was
neat. Like, they're like, hey, look, we know this character. Look this.
Yeah.
And another thing I really enjoyed was how annoyed she was with Peter for one, mm-hmm. inviting Harry to that movie event, and mm-hmm. two, not telling her about Peter or about Spider-Man, kind of like the way that Tom Holland Spider-Man bailed on Ned at the party. He did the same thing here because of Spider-Man. And when she figured it out, it's like, okay, now I'm really annoyed at you because you were doing that and you weren't telling me about it.
Exactly. Yeah. I really liked your character here, but what I meant earlier is she's a great character in general. If you look at Midnight Suns, she's in that. And mm-hmm. if you look at the comics, she's all over the comics, but like as a minor character, but she's so interesting. Her backstory is good. Her character writing is good. And her power set is really unique. And I've never seen her really represented well. I mean, Midnight Suns, I guess, but outside of comics, I haven't seen her really represented well. I didn't watch Runaways.
Are you talking about the Midnight Suns game?
Yeah, she's in that.
Well, I never played
it. Yeah. Right, Vic? She's in that, isn't she?
Yeah, she's one
yeah,
of the
she's
main
in
characters.
That, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sorry for butching it, but this game perfectly explains her set of abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Is that she can use one spell only, and she can't repeat this particular spell
yeah.
anytime, like never.
So like she comes up with like some kind of word, and then once she uses that word for that spell, then she has to like cross it off a list so that she never uses that same word again.
Because homework.
And A very interesting.
it's a very unique power set. She can do almost anything, just not the same thing twice. So sometimes she has to get very creative. And also, it's like the way she describes the spell has to be as specific as possible too. Otherwise the wrong thing could happen.
So it's like
I think
in
Wiccan has something
Stargirl,
like that. What was that?
it's just like in Stargirl when there was this Johnny, what, the pencil guy.
I don't remember. I didn't watch the show.
Yeah, but it was like you had to specifically said what you wanted to happen, like to this last dot or something else would happen.
And I think Wiccan is also the same way in the comics, especially at first, I think. But it's just a great rule for magic because magic is so unlimited. So when you create these constraints, you say, well, your magic has to follow these specific rules to make it difficult. That helps limit their powers, right? So I'm so excited to see where she goes in season two and how they
And that's
develop
the
her character.
perfect way to bring back Doctor Strange as the main character, as a
That's right.
series
And then to spin
regular.
off into a Midnight Suns show. Yeah.
I'm game.
I was joking, but yes, Midnight Suns everything. That's what I'm here for. Good. All right, guys. Anything else you want to add? You good to wrap up?
Oof. Well, it seems like they're really confident in this show and they're really happy with it. And obviously fans are happy with it, so like they're already green light. They already
Season
green
three.
lit season three. So yeah, with the fact that they've already done some of the work, hopefully this means that season two will come sooner rather than later. Also, I thought it was interesting how they changed the name. Remember, it was originally Spider-Man Freshman Year, and
Yeah,
now they went to Your
because
Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. So I wonder what that could mean.
yeah, at first it was meant to be the origin story for Tom Holland Spider-Man, so
Oh,
they just
that's
changed it.
right. Yeah. I'm glad they
And
didn't
so
stick with that concept.
you know, this helps differentiate from that. Also, I think now maybe they're not limited to 1 year at a time, so maybe time can be a little more flexible in the show. It doesn't have to be freshman year, sophomore year, junior, senior. But now they can be a little more flexible with how time flows in the show.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, I just really enjoy the show. I hope those who haven't seen it go and check it out. I may watch it a second time to see what I missed.
I feel like I mentioned earlier, I feel kind of bad for some of my regular fans who are like, what is this? Alternate universe Spider-Man? I'm not gonna watch that. But at the same time, also, it's kind of neat that it's just like super fans watching this, and we can just share this and enjoy it together. And we don't need like people yelling, oh, your Spider-Man's like this, and Iron Boy Jr. and all those weird criticisms. That it's just people positively enjoying the show, and everyone's just happy. Do you understand what I mean? Like it's something
Yeah.
like just for us, and
All I'm
so it's
saying
kind
is
of nice.
this character better show up in the next Spider-Verse movie. It'd be a crime if they didn't include him. Why wouldn't
Absolutely.
you? He's a great rendition.
And that movie's not coming out for like 5 years anyway. So.
If we're lucky.
Just like Blade. Sorry for that.
No, what
What
Blade
Blade?
is Blade's like probably the end of phase, the
Eight?
next saga, probably like at the
Probably
end
at
of
this point.
X-Men, because they're going to make all the X-Men stuff. Then after X-Men, and then we'll get Blade.
They're gonna
So
make
get
Blade a
Mahershala
mutant.
Ali when he's 60 something years old. My God.
He'll be they'll have to de-age him to play a 50-year-old
The
Blade.
only way this works is if they actually turn him into a vampire. Otherwise, no.
They'll need to bring him back to life using the Jurassic World technology. Okay.
God.
All right, guys. So thank you all for joining us. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. We'd love to continue the conversation. So please check us out at thecosmiccircus.com. You can find us on our social media and Blue Sky at My Cosmic Circus. My name is Vin. You can find me at Vin Rice Words.
My name is Anthony. You can find me at Radova underscore.
My name is Vic. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at IdrixAlki. And I just want to say that Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man is the best Spider-Man project since The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
You heard it here.
And please remember to also follow our Cosmic Circus podcast feed at My Cosmic Circus. Thank you all for tuning in again. My name is Vin, and have a great evening, everyone. Bye.